Hey there, just a heads up, this podcast is for grown-ups only. We're talking about adult stuff, think spicy language, mature themes, and topics your grandma might raise an eyebrow at. So if you're under 18, come back when you're older. For everyone else, enjoy the ride.
Welcome to Hacking Love, deepening commitment through open relationships. I'm Aiden.
And I'm Anna. We created this podcast to explore the transformative power of ethical non-monogamy and how it can deepen connections in modern relationships.
We've been through it all, divorce, heartbreak, and figuring out what real commitment looks like. Now we're here to share our journey and the lessons we've learned along the way.
Whether you're experienced in open relationships or just curious, we want this to be a space where we can dive into real conversation about everything from swinging to polyamory.
We'll talk candidly about jealousy, desire, emotional growth, and radical honesty. Basically, everything that comes up when you step outside the conventional rules of love.
And if you're enjoying the show, we'd love it if you could take a moment to leave us a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening to. It really helps us reach more people.
Absolutely. And we'd also love to hear from you. Our contact info is in the show notes, so feel free to reach out with your thoughts and questions. We'll definitely get back to you.
So let's dive in. It's time to hack love and discover what truly authentic connections look like. Welcome back.
Welcome back, guys.
Okay, this is literally the next day or 2 days later?
Yep.
Okay, so this happened faster than we thought. So we left the last episode that I was going to reach out to this single guy that I've been texting with on Telegram and set up this coffee date. And after we ended last episode, Aiden was like, okay, you need to write him right now. And it was 10 o'clock at night. I was like, it's too late. I don't want to. And you were like, do it. And
just get started.
Okay, fine. And he literally helped me write it. I always write too much. I say too much and it's too complicated. And so he helped me just be like, hey,
I'm available 4 to 6. Because he was talking about scheduling too much.
I know. Like, no, it wasn't even that. It was the first thing I said was just like, hey, I'm back. Want to grab that coffee? Like, it was just that. And then he wrote back, yes. And then I said, I'm available this time. And he said, oh, I've got meetings. And I said, I'm available these times. And he said, okay. And so we met today. We set up a date today for 4 p.m. coffee place around the corner from where we live. And I was
thinking you might run into someone you know over there.
Yeah, definitely. In my neighborhood. And the good thing is,
which happened,
what I am in a helping profession for a living, and it would not be unheard of for me to be meeting clients out.
And you were wearing your new ring too.
And I was wearing my new engagement ring, and I was dressed professionally in a button down and all that, and my work jewelry and stuff, and not in any way sexy.
No, you were fully sexy. I think you looked hot.
You love me. And these are potentially sexy pants, but I have a long shirt on. I'm still wearing it. Long shirt over covering that part. Anyway, so it was just really nerve-wracking. And you came over right before I left. And it was just so funny because you wanted me to look at moles on the top of your head.
I have this mole on my head that it's concerning me a little bit. And I'm like, hey, before you go, can you come look at my mole?
I know.
And tell me what kind of mole that is, because you gotta check those things out.
I know.
And I came and you're like all dressed up looking hot, and I'm like, oh, you're staring at my head with your
taking pictures blowing it up
of my mole.
I was like, if you're gonna go get moles taken off, I'm gonna go with you because I have moles that I need to get taken off. Let's go make it a couple's
might be hotter than the date you got.
Couples retreat. I know, honestly. So then I'm like, okay, it's time to go.
So you were very nervous.
I was so sick to my stomach, nervous about it. Like, I haven't met with a man alone in...
Since our first date.
Honestly. And then marriage. And then before that, like in my 20s or early 30s. And so it was... I was like, wow, that is a really big deal. And we talked about a little bit on text, you and I, last night. Just trying to figure out why this is meaningful to me. And I think what I ended up writing to you is that it made me feel really trusted by you, that I am an equal in this relationship and that you trust me to do things independently and you trust us. And it's not that I have a need to see other guys separately. I don't. And especially after today, we'll tell you what happened, but I'm just, no, like that was a really interesting exercise, but this is not some need that I have, but it's just feeling like you respect and trust me as an independent, autonomous human.
Mm-hmm.
independent of our own relationship feels really good, because in my marriage, I was not given that same kind of respect. I was ridiculed or criticized or shamed if I spoke to men, even on a friendship basis, at normal social gatherings. So it became this just, I was trained out of it, honestly. I've told you before, there was a whole time in my life where I avoided eye contact with men at all, any eye contact. And I used to have a lot of male friends and really enjoyed them. Guys can be so funny, and I love men. I love the laid back nature of guys and your sense of humor and just the different perspective that you have from us. Not that we're men and women are so completely different, but we are different in a lot of ways. And I appreciate that and like that and enjoy it and always have.
So you enjoy male company.
Yeah. I enjoy male company. Anyway, so I'm driving there and I made you a little voice memo that maybe we'll include right before this. But I was just like, I'm going to throw up. What am I doing? This is so silly. I was driving like 2 miles an hour to not get there way early, and got there and sat in the parking lot for a little bit. And then right at 4 walked in, and he was sitting outside. So we introduced ourselves, and I pretty much immediately knew I was not interested in him sexually. He wasn't.
Which we said would be a 50-50 probability that you're not going to be into him from the moment you see him.
Yeah, and I don't know. What is that with me?
No, you're just selective. We've talked about that a lot.
Yeah.
You're just selective.
He has a great smile. Really sweet, but his pictures were either older or they were like the very best of pictures of him. He had some that showed him in the gym, and he didn't look as in shape now as he was then. And I am almost 100% certain he is not the height that he's spaced. He's tall, but not that tall.
It's interesting because that just shows you that if you fib on your profile, you're starting your date off with disappointment.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's not, if he had said let's say his height or his looks were accurate, then you might not have had that initial wah in the beginning, which can take on its own momentum, and then you're just automatically not into them at all. I think it's just bad form to fib about what you look like and what they can expect, because they're going to see you in person.
Right.
And yes, it might get you there, but it won't get you closer to the deal. Probably get you further away if you lie about it.
No, ideally you look better than your pictures. That would be the goal.
We don't see that much though.
We don't see that much, but he was probably at least 5'11", like your height. And I'm short. It's not a lot to seem tall to me. So if he had just said that, but I was expecting 6'2" and whatever,
and a buff guy
and a buff 6'2". Yeah. And so that was not quite it, but that's fine. We're all at different ages and stages and phases and whatever. I was still,
and that actually would have been fine with you because you're not so looks focused.
No.
It's the letdown on what you expect, not that you only want that.
Yes.
And that's what I'm saying is I think it's just so important to be accurate and truthful in your profile, because you're starting a date off bad if you lie. And B, it's not what you expect, right?
So much better to pleasantly surprise someone, you know?
Yeah.
So, he was very sweet. He asked if I wanted something to drink. So we went inside and we got sparkling waters. And he paid for them, which I thought was really sweet. He's very gentlemanly. And then we went back outside. And I was just really curious. I wanted to hear about his story. And he's told me all the different places he's lived and about his family and how he got into the lifestyle, which he's really recent to it, like we are.
Like we knew.
Yes, like, you're completely
in the last podcast,
right.
I said, this guy hasn't been lifestyle very long.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's more advanced than I thought he would be, because he's had a couple he's played with and stuff. So he's definitely in the mentality of it.
Yes. But he's struggling with, like, he's met someone recently that he really likes, but he's struggling with, how do I broach this subject? And I think a lot of listeners out there are probably struggling with that. Like, maybe you're interested in opening a relationship or just dating as an open person, dating in ethical non-monogamy. But most people are defaulting when they're dating, when you're out there in the wild, are defaulting to monogamy. And so you have to bring it up if that's something that's important to you pretty soon. And so he's struggling with how to bring that up without scaring people off, because it's important to him and it is the way that he wants to function in relationships not at this point in his life. But he just has not had good experience with women's reactions to it. Because I think, and I think there are a lot of women out there who see it as, oh, this guy just wants an excuse to cheat. And I know that was probably at some point in my life, that was my impression of people in open relationships, that this is being driven by the men who just want to be able to fuck around. And it wasn't until I myself was dealing with divorce and rethinking my own thoughts about relationships and how I wanted to be in relationships, how I didn't want to be controlled, how I wanted to be able to be myself, be authentic, not be judged, embrace my sexuality, not have to pretend that my libido is way down here when it's not, not have to pretend I'm not attracted to guys when I am. A lot of that has to do with control of women and their bodies. And there's a lot of ethical non-monogamy that's actually very empowering to women. And I just happen to be extremely fortunate to have found you, Aiden, that you encourage that and you're not threatened by it and you love it and you think it's sexy and fun. And all the fears that I had that we've talked about on previous episodes about being a slut and the good girl conditioning and that you're going to see me differently, you're not going to want to marry me if you've seen me sleep with somebody else. Obviously, that didn't work out at all. And it's just so beautiful when you find someone you can completely be yourself with, whatever that is. And so I think he's on that journey to try to find that out. But he's in a very white-collar job, very buttoned up. So I don't think he probably has had a lot of interaction with open-minded people. I think this is his kind of foray into that. Like, he just texted right before we started recording saying, really enjoyed meeting you. I forgot to ask you about psychedelics. I'm really interested in that. And I was like, great to meet you too. I'd absolutely love to tell you about psychedelics. They've changed my life. Which ones are you interested in?
Second date is confirmed.
Now I don't know what to do. Because here's the thing. Since I don't want to have sex with him or kiss him or any of that stuff, there's just not that vibe. Now what do I do with this? And you were trying to point this out earlier. And so is this why I don't even try with this kind of stuff? Because now I've got to extricate myself.
That's the challenge. There's ways you can go with this. One is to ghost him. Two is to continue the banter until it fizzles out, which is, I don't think, honest. Or three is to tell him exactly how you feel and be direct and see where that happens. It's for you, not him, right? It's for you to say, hey, you know what? I'm really not feeling it. If this is the case.
Yeah.
I'm really not feeling the connection, but I'd love to chat with you more. I love talking about these things, something like that. Or if he reaches out and says, I want to see you again or something like that. It's now a lesson for you to try something that's uncomfortable. And that's what this lifestyle is so great about, is it gets you in these positions of, I've got to say something that's hard, but that really should be said if I'm in integrity with myself.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I love that you have that opportunity, and it didn't work out in this case, but it's an opportunity to learn other things as well. That's what this is all about. It's not just about the sex and going out and banging. It's about the various ways you can grow just in these little communication exercises, which I think is really exciting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I think I would like to experiment with the direct route. Mm-hmm. And he talked about having been ghosted. He had I'm the fifth person he's met off of field, two couples and two women. And this last one is the one he really likes or seems to, which is good. So I'm glad he's got other.
I'm not worried about him.
I know.
He'll be fine. Whoever he is and whatever he does.
He'll be just fine.
But it's sweet of you to think about that.
I know. But I'd like to go the direct route. But he also has never been pushy. Even at the end, he walked me to my car and opened my car door for me, but he never got in my, I never had a sense of, I don't know, the women listening out there, you probably know what I'm talking about, where a guy crosses the threshold into your personal space where you know he's trying to go in for a kiss. And if you're not wanting that, it can feel really uncomfortable. I never, ever got that from him, not once. And so to me, that was very positive because it felt like he was reading me correctly. And I appreciate that. And you just never know. Because he's a pretty nerdy guy, social skills, right? Probably about like mine, because I'm pretty nerdy, my social skills too.
How did the conversation go?
I was just super curious about his story. And anytime I meet somebody in the lifestyle, there's always some interesting story there. So I wanted to hear about his upbringing and family and previous relationships and what led him to seek out a dating app like Field that is more catering to open relationships. And it had been his latest breakup, which was earlier this year, where he just felt like he couldn't be himself, and he just was being criticized and just wasn't loved for who he was, and that he wanted something more open, and he really values his independence, and he already has a child and has a good relationship with her mother, and was having issues with that. The ex-girlfriend didn't like that he had a good relationship with his ex-wife, which is too bad. But
so the conversation, how'd it go?
The conversation, I just listened to him.
So he did all the talking, or he talked?
He did most of the talking, yeah, I think. I talked a little bit more at the end. I talked a lot about us.
Which you said you would do.
I knew I would.
Which is fine if you're in the LS. It's like people talk about their partners. That's a big part of their life.
It is. It's a big deal. And he was really curious about one of the couples he met. He really admires their relationship. And he said, this can happen. You can have an open relationship that's really healthy. And I was like, yes, you absolutely can. That's what Aiden and I have. And I told him how we did it. He was asking, were you in the lifestyle before we met? And I was like, no, we were both in monogamous marriages before we met. And then we met and were in the middle of messy divorces and became basically best friends and then started dating. And we built this from the ground up just based on not wanting to repeat the just following the rules that we had assumed we had to follow before, and it just not working out. It was not what we wanted, and we couldn't be ourselves, and it just wasn't authentic to who we were. And so we just were figuring it out. Lloyd, I told him we didn't just jump right into, okay, now we're dating, now we're sleeping with other people. It was not like that at all. For years, we were just talking about it. It really wasn't until the sex tent at the festival we went to and then at the orgy dome at Burning Man that we acted on it for the first time. But for years, it was just a lot of us reading books together and talking about hypotheticals and
fantasies. And what ifs.
Yes. And because even just talking like that is a huge step, and you can feel jealousy even talking about hypothetical people that don't even exist. So I just encouraged him to start small when he's talking to this new woman about just wanting to have an open, authentic, real relationship where you don't hide who you are, where you share your opinions. And
so you're on your date with this guy telling him how to date in the lifestyle.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes, essentially.
Which is, I knew you would do. You'd be like, I think we talked about this on the last podcast. Yeah. You were going to help educate him that you love doing that.
Yeah.
Which is fun. Showing people like, hey, here's how another way of looking at things. And it sounded like from what you said, he was more advanced than we thought he may have been.
So a little bit. But he's still very much outside looking in and being like, how can I make this work? I've now met at least one couple that I'm like, wow, I want what they have. Now, how do I build this with someone that I meet? Where they won't just be totally scared off.
Yeah, I think you said he'd indicated it's difficult for a guy, and it is, because it's, you know, so difficult to find open women who are not coupled.
Yeah.
Who are not just unicorns looking for couples. That there are open women who they identify as ENM, and they want to meet other people who are ENM as well, and there just aren't a ton of those on the apps.
Yeah.
At least as far as we've seen, or in the lifestyle that we've seen. Because in the lifestyle, the people we know, they're all coupled up. So for a guy to be single in the lifestyle, I think it's going to take a lot of work.
Yeah.
And not single looking for a couple necessarily, but single looking for another woman who's open-minded and is also thinking about being in the lifestyle.
Yeah.
I just wonder, where do you find those women?
I don't know.
Because if I have a single date, that's what I would be looking for.
Exactly.
I don't want to date anyone in the monogamous world if I ever do a separate date, which is our next conversation.
Which is our next conversation. But I think that's interesting. But I think there are probably women on Bumble who would...
No. Oh, yeah. You know, I did see those in the past.
Yeah. Who would be open to it.
Very few, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, it
but sometimes maybe they just haven't had the right conversation with someone about it to educate them about what it's really about. Because I guess if you're having that conversation with some kind of a douchebag guy who's obviously who's not very introspective and just out to sleep with a bunch of women, that may not be super attractive to your average woman. But if it's someone who's like you, who's really thoughtful and is very interested in connection, but just wants to be open to lots of connections, including friends with benefits, that's a different way. It's a different side of the same coin that's much more attractive to at least a woman like me. That's what I want.
Yeah. We were talking about this downstairs. We have my other separate profile that I put up, and I've had a total of 5 connections, right? And maybe a few more likes. And you indicated that sounds like a lot less work, because out of those 5, I've messaged 1 just now, just tonight, because I got bold after your date. And I was like, I'm going to message this one. But, you know, many swipes to the left on that one. But so you'd remarked that it's a lot less work because I'm just looking through 5 people. You've got all this noise of all of these guys when you open up single men, and you still came down to just 1.
Right.
Yeah, which one's better? I don't know. That's a good question, actually.
It's a lot of work. I've done a lot of the work for you. Every night I go through and I'm just...
She has my Fuel app on her phone.
Yeah.
Because you're taking care of it. So it's funny because you know what I like, and you've liked a lot. You liked a lot of women that I wouldn't have liked on it, for sure.
Because that's the best the absolute best there was.
That's the number issue I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But first, so he wants to be single in the lifestyle. He wants to meet a similarly minded woman.
Exactly.
And I think that, you know, it can happen for sure.
But it's very difficult.
It's going to take him some time.
I know.
So what was your impression throughout this conversation? So you got there, you're like, oh no, not physical attraction, but I want to meet this person, understand them. And so he talked a lot, I think you said.
Yeah.
And a little bit of a me talker, I think you said.
He was, I think.
Maybe nervous.
He may have been nervous, and I totally get that. And I am always the person who talks too much. And
I was going to say, for you not to get it, the word edgewise was surprising.
I was particularly very conscious of that in this conversation, but I, in the last few years, have become much, much more conscious of it in my general communications, just because I've done a lot of work on myself and realized that the oversharing and talking too much can be a trauma response in a lot of ways.
Filling the dead air.
Air and, or almost trying to justify your existence in a way. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes any sense to anybody out there, but that I don't need to be talking all the time. I don't need to talk so fucking fast or so fucking loud.
I love the way you talk.
And thank you. That is, you have no idea how much that means to me, because there's only so much I can change about it. But I am working on it.
I don't think you have to work on it.
And I was genuinely curious about him, but I wanted to adopt him in a way. Like, I was like, oh my God.
Your little E&M pet.
I do. I was like, this guy has so much potential. Like, if I could get him work on health together, if he would be open to that. He's pretty good, but this guy could be an Adonis in a year if he did what I said. go back and listen to our health episode, just a few tweaks here and there, it would be amazing. And he'd probably feel great and would in his mood and all the things.
So he was generally good looking then, thought.
Yes.
But he had potential.
Good bones.
Yeah,
good foundation.
He had something to work with, but he wasn't taking care of himself. And
yeah.
Was he groomed well?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Definitely.
Okay.
Clean, groomed well, dressed well, all the things. Yeah, just, you guys, this is terrible. I have very high standards because Aiden has set a very high bar. But it's less about looks, but because I work in health, I'm always thinking of people's, like, how are they feeling on the inside? Mm-hmm. What's their energy? What's their mood? Because there are certain things when you see them on the outside, they typically translate into, right, somebody probably isn't sleeping well, or, you know, having sleep apnea, or not having the energy they want, or may not have the libido they want, or mood issues or things like that. So I'm always just, oh, they could be living their best life. I want to help them so much. And so there was that. And then the second part was like, I just, oh, what are you doing, Aiden? What's you doing? What are you doing?
Okay. Sorry.
I'm getting distracted.
My hand
now.
Was wandering.
I fucking love you. And so I was just like, I don't want to extend something that's going nowhere. But at the same time, that part of me that wants to adopt him wants us to take him to lunch or something and give him the scoop on how you make this work and just encourage him to keep going. And here's a really good therapist that we used who's positive about
it. Anna's out to save the world and every stray puppy that comes along. Every stray puppy on field that we meet.
Oh, no.
We need to go cure this guy and make him an Adonis. So
I have never.
Maybe you will sleep with him someday.
No. Oh, God. No. I've never picked guys who needed fixing. That's for sure. And I'm not interested in him that way. If they need fixing, I'm
right.
Definitely not interested.
But it's a thought like experiment you're
going
through right
now. But, yes, I just see him as starting this phase of growth and self-knowledge, and the fact that he's interested in psychedelics. I know that how helpful that has been to me and to you. And that's exciting. I think that could move him along, but if he does it in the right way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
Yeah.
I'll share my thoughts with you.
Okay, I want to hear.
Okay, so you were so cute today because you were like, I don't know if I want to do this. And you were just super nervous, I could tell.
Oh, God.
And I came over and had you look at my mole. And I was just super cool. I was just like, yeah, this is cool. I wasn't feeling a lot of anxiety or jealousy or anything.
You're amazing.
And then you go off and I'm like, okay, she's going off for a date. I'm like, what am I doing? This is crazy. Totally. And it was in the back of my head, but I got involved in recording one of my sets and I did a couple other things to keep busy. You know me, I'm not good at just keeping busy to forget something like you are. And recorded my set and screwed it up and I had to do it again. And by then it had been an hour. I'm like, okay, so it's been an hour. And then that's when the clock started ticking on me.
Oh, God.
I was like, okay, so it's now an hour and 15 minutes. And then I started going, oh, what am I doing this? Is this something that's even a good idea? Like, these thoughts are going through my head. And at 5:25, I'm like, I'm calling her at 5:30 just to throw a bone in this thing or throw a wrench in this thing.
Yes.
And at least it'll cause a disruption in whatever's happening here. And to see if she's safe, too, because I hadn't heard anything.
Yeah.
And so at 5:30 on the dot, I called you. And yes, you're like, we're wrapping up. And I was like, oh, she sounds really excited. She's gonna come home and talk about how excited she is about this guy. And but yeah, I started feeling a little bit that last half hour. I was like, okay, so an hour was what I had in my head. And of course, I know you, it's not gonna just be an hour. I just didn't think it would. And especially if you liked him, I was like, that could be 2 hours if you liked him, because you would just keep that conversation going because you would be getting a lot back. And,
oh God.
I know that wasn't the case in this situation. But yeah, I'm like, okay, so this is going well if it's an hour and a half. And I checked Find My, and you hadn't left. You weren't in the car. And I'm like, okay.
Oh,
and at one point, I said, are you back? Because the Find My showed you here at the house, and it hadn't moved yet. And then it shot your face all the way across the screen. I'm like, okay, she's still there.
Oh, how funny.
I was like, I should wait for that thing to kick in first. So I'm like, okay, she's still there and still there and haven't heard. And yeah, so my mind, my acting all cool and non-jealous, but it wasn't really a jealousy. It was, maybe it was. I don't know what it was, but it was an insecurity or a little feeling inside that was like, okay, this is happening now.
That like sick to your stomach feeling.
Yeah, more like butterflies, a little unease, I guess is a good way to describe it.
Oh yeah, it. I know it well.
So that was through my head. And so, yeah, so I think that was interesting. And then the first thing you said was, the text I got was, it's a nope. And he's a nice guy, but it's a nope. No for me, and I'll call you in a minute. I was a little bit relieved and a little disappointed for you at the same time. Like, I was relieved. Okay, now we can have a real conversation. There will be a story here, and the story's not nearly as interesting as it could have been, but still, and I'm sure listeners are disappointed.
I know, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I'm so picky.
But I was also a little relieved because I was like, okay, that piece of it's gone. Now we can just pick up the pieces and learn what we felt through this period. And still very interesting to me just because of that. So that was my thoughts.
Oh my gosh. Yes. That would be hard to be the one staying home. Although before I left, I was like, God, I'd rather be in your shoes right now. I don't want to be doing this.
Staying home with me on the date.
Yes, I know. And because I am able to just put on a podcast and clean and water plants, and I will be extremely efficient during that time and get things done to keep my mind off of it. And that works really well for me.
Yeah, that only works for a while for me. I finished my set. I'm like,
and you were okay, like, hours over.
Where the fuck is she?
It was so funny. You called and I immediately picked up and I was like, you're on speaker. And then you were silent. And I don't know if we had a bad connection or if you.
Bad connection.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But then I didn't hear anything. So I was like, I'll put you on not speaker. I was like, okay.
Hey. Oh, you didn't hear me say hi?
Uh-uh.
Oh, funny.
No, so I just thought you didn't want to be on speaker.
Yeah.
But he said hi. And he had been asking about you. He asked if you were going to come today. And I said, it's just going to be me. And I didn't say why.
Excited about that.
And
oh, good. Just the
girl. I think it's, you're just letting me sprout my wings and experiment and see how things go. And I think it's really beautiful.
That is really genuine on my part.
And I know.
Let's just see how it feels. Let's see. The trust is there, and the beauty of us is there. And I'm not concerned about any of the things I used to be concerned about back in the day.
Yeah.
And so now it's more like just. I just love watching you grow, and I just see you growing with every step we take. And this was like a little step.
Yeah.
I thought it was a big step. It was a little step. The little step was you being able to go do that. But in the back of my head, it's if she continues to go and do that, it's going to click at some point.
Mm.
There will be someone there, and I have to be ready for that. I have to be ready to say, okay, what's the next step for that?
And or then, it never does.
Never's a long time, baby. But in our pace right now, I don't think never is going to happen. I think it's going to happen before never.
No, I just think... we're so uniquely suited to each other. The way when you came over after I got home, and I just glommed onto you like a spider monkey and told you what happened and told you all about it. And we talked and we were just like, you guys, our bodies intertwine so perfectly in a million different ways. Like, however we put our legs and arms around each other, and I tuck my head under his chin, and we just fit, and he smells so good. And we just sat there, and I was just like, I couldn't get close enough to you. And we just, it's not replaceable. It's really hard. Yeah. It's really hard to find. Oh, y'all, it was funny though. So we're in the middle of talking about, he asked me when we were at the coffee if we'd ever been to one of the sex clubs. And so I was telling him about our experience going at Colette. And I'm in the middle of telling this story, and one of my mom friends comes up because I'm like in my neighborhood.
That's right.
And she was on FaceTime with her daughter. And I know her daughter too. So I'm like, oh, hi. Da-da. And I got up from the table and I didn't introduce them. But most everyone of my friends, everybody knows what I do for a living in health. And so it's not unusual that I would be out meeting a client somewhere, especially the way I was dressed. And I've got we recently announced our engagement like very publicly. And I've got my engagement ring on, and I didn't act like it was a big deal. So obviously it wasn't. You go to lunch with women who are not me.
Yeah.
And so it's not a big deal anyway, but it was really funny. So I sat back down and I told him that I was his health coach, and he just started laughing. I was like, yeah, if I get any questions, you're my client. So, and what else?
That's all I got.
All right. I didn't know if you were pinching me because I was saying the wrong thing. No, or if you were trying to get in my crotch.
I'm just getting your crotch.
I'm like, am I saying something we're going to have to edit out later?
That would be a different pinch.
Are you just getting into my situation? Ooh, we had crazy sex last night.
Yes, we did.
Was it last night?
It was last night.
That was insane. Have we talked about that?
We have not talked about that.
I don't know.
Do we need to talk about that?
I don't know. I'm okay with
it's
it.
It's just us. It's not lifestyle stuff.
I know. That's true. How did that happen?
How did what happen?
Because I feel like you came over. I don't think we planned that. But it ended up being like a wild session.
Yeah, Tim, with your daughter downstairs.
Oh, she's... Yeah. Oh,
and we are not quiet.
No, we're not. But here's the thing. That sounds terrible. But she's an adult. And also, this is a multi-story unit situation, first floor to third floor. Very,
yeah, it wasn't very obvious, but she could stop upstairs anytime. And we were,
but she never does.
So. But we were a little risk taking, which is great.
Yes,
but I'm all for it.
We had the door locked, we had towels underneath the door jam. To yes, exactly. But I don't know what were we doing. We're just talking.
I think we were talking about this kind of stuff.
Oh, I think we were.
Talking about your date.
Okay, I think we were.
And it turned us on, and then we ended up having like crazy sex.
And then I've been on and off my period. And so you were like, that's okay.
No, I
first
care.
Of all, you don't care. And then you were like, if you care, I can go to another hole. And I was like, which we haven't done in so long, you guys. I was like,
it hasn't been that long.
It has been a long time. It has been long
been
enough.
Counting the days since we had anal sex.
Probably. Has it been since the summer? I think it's been since the summer.
Yeah, it might have been the
that's
summer.
That's a long time. That's
sorry.
No, it's not your fault. We've been traveling a ton. We've just been doing a ton of stuff. It takes some prep work.
But it takes a little prep.
It's been so long that you guys, I was out of shape. Like I've read and heard women talk about on other podcasts, like that it requires training and you have to work up to it. And I was like, oh, we've been doing it on a semi-regular basis. So it wasn't like easy, but it was... There's a certain amount of working it in there and lube that's required, but it wasn't taking forever. Last night it took forever. Like I almost gave up.
Yeah. And I told you never give up.
And this is where, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine doing this with anybody else but you. So it was like painful. And so I don't think this is going to work. And you were just like, you were just very still and you were just adding lube and you were just holding me and talking to me in this like low sexy voice. And like at some point, and I told you, it was like, if y'all are old enough to have watched Crocodile Dundee, and he does that thing with his pinky and his thumb and he gets the animals, he goes wah, 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 and the animal goes down to the ground in this controlled calm state. That's literally what you did to me last night. You were on top of me. I was like on my belly, you were on top of me, and you were just like half in. And you just crawl. And I just went completely limp and just, people talk about like subspace. It was like that in a way, which is you
go out of your head a little bit.
Go out of your head a little bit, and my whole body just relaxed. And then all of a sudden it just worked. And it was really hot. It was super hot. And he also got me my favorite sex toy, the Wii Vibe. because, and highly recommend that. That one goes inside on your G-spot and then also outside on your clit. So it's really great for anal sex because you get all of the things at once.
I think it's Anna's favorite.
It's
we vibe with the anal sex.
Oh, it's really good. Oof.
I think that is a
It's a good combo.
Top five for sure.
Really good combo. Oh, and it was so funny because we first started with, we were going to do missionary anal. So you were on top of me. We were facing each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the Wee Vibe in. And you kept trying to put it in my ass. And it kept sliding into my pussy with the Wee Vibe.
Which I was fine with.
And you, which you love. You exactly. Honestly prefer my pussy over everything. You
do. That was you my favorite literally, place to be.
You just fuck my ass for me.
That's for both of us.
You do it to
it's
like
for both of us. But I know how much you love it.
I know.
It's a humoring or it's a Crocodile Dundee.
Does it turn you on at all?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do it if it didn't.
All right. Okay. No, I know you. You would do anything that turned me on, even if it didn't turn you on.
Probably.
You probably would. Probably you're true. So. You're like the best lover ever. I mean,
fucking you in the ass. Come on.
I don't know.
It's a treat.
It's so hot. Anyway, so naughty. But yeah, so we were just laughing, and he was convinced he was in my ass. I'm like, no, you're in my pussy, I swear to God.
And I was like, yeah, it seemed pretty loose.
No, I was like, that went in real fast. I was like, you're not even...
What's funny is you didn't know where it was.
I didn't. I was like, this is so weird, because it's never gone in that easily. Though. We had a lot of lube, but it had never gone in that easily. But I was like, my butthole was so closed up after 6 months or whatever it's been. And I didn't know that, yeah, you got to get on this regularly, babe. It requires regular maintenance, right, or it's going to close up.
Put the maintenance on the calendar.
It's like when you get your ears pierced. If you don't just twist it every night with the Vaseline, it's going to close up on you.
Yeah, we want it closing up. That would be unhealthy.
That would be unhealthy. So funny. So we were like, fuck. So we couldn't get it in with missionary anal. So we had to flip me over.
Yes, I flipped her over.
So he could actually have a target that he could see. And then I was like, okay. Then he got the tip in, and I was like, fuck, that hurts. That has never hurt like that before. What is going on? And lots more lube. And then he had to
try
Dundee again. No, I don't know if I'm ready for that, but we could try. I might need to clear things out. Yes. Highly recommend.
There are no secrets on this podcast.
There are no secrets on this podcast.
No.
Apparently.
We just say whatever.
I guess we can edit this out if we get too embarrassed. I will give you a
We already know it's staying.
I know. I'm going to give her my pro tip about prep, though.
On anal prep.
Anal prep. I didn't do this last night, so maybe that was part of it. I don't know. It really helps. You can buy a big jug of glycerin, just vegetable glycerin on Amazon, and a lube shooter.
What's a lube shooter?
A lube shooter. It looks like a plastic syringe, but the tip is rounded, and it has just a tiny hole in the tip. It's great for anal sex because you can suck up lube into the lube shooter, stick it into your butt, put a bunch of lube inside because the anal canal is not self-lubricating. So if you don't have lube up there already, it can be a lot more difficult to get things in. It's not enough to just put lube on the penis or put a little bit on your butthole like when you're going in. It's just not enough.
So what is a lube shooter? What does it look like?
It looks like a syringe, but it's rounded at the tip with a hole in the tip.
Where you can the lube up in there.
Up in there. So
stick it up there with a knuckle.
So what I, yeah, the way I use it is actually to clean myself out beforehand. It's, I don't know how many, it's 8 inches long. So it's like a tampon width. And I just suck up some glycerin, which is different from lube, but it's basically what's in, you can buy glycerin suppositories for as a laxative at the drugstore, but you can also just buy a ton of glycerin and shoot it up your butt. It'll make you poop. So it helps you clean out before you're having anal sex. So I'll do...
You use it to...
I use it for prep.
Oh, it's as a laxative.
Not as a laxative, but it makes things... technically, it lubes everything up there and stuff comes out.
Okay.
So it's a great way. If they make little glycerin suppositories that Fleet makes, like the same people who make the enemas,
mm-hmm.
and is squirting glycerin up there and it makes you poop.
Okay.
So I squirt it up there myself with the lube shooter and it makes me poop, and I'll do two or three of those before anal sex, ideally, if I know it's happening. Then you already have some glycerin up there, which is a great lube already. It's lubey, but you've gotten rid of the poop, and then you also have pre-lubed. I'm sorry, is this... You're going to cut all this out.
No, I'm not. It's so embarrassing. No, I think it's gold.
I'm sorry.
I'm keeping it in. There are people that don't know these things on the call, and they might be really interested in it.
Because I was thinking, I was like, if you were to just shoot a bunch of lube up there right before, it might be feel like you need to poop. It would be more stuff up there.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So I just like that I use it to get the poop out, clean myself out, And then whatever's left over, there's still some up there, but it's not blocking anything. It's not like this bundle of lube that's sitting there. I want to make room for your girth and wonderfulness.
Tell our listeners what you like about anal so much.
Because
she does love
it. I like feeling really full. I don't like it all the time. I couldn't do it all the time. But occasionally, when I get really horny, it just is something that I crave. It feels like really dirty and naughty and like taboo and subby, and like when I feel really close to you and really safe with you, I just want to give everything to you.
No,
I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, it does.
It's like
make sense.
It's like really
giving your whole body to me.
Like, yeah,
that's fucking hot.
It's so hot. And the way you handle me, like, because we have this amazing equal respectful relationship, but we have a vibe with sex that's a little more you dommy, a lot more you dommy, and it's really hot.
That is our dynamic for sure. We have a very distinct masculine feminine polarity, I think.
Definitely.
Which is something they say is really important for relationships that are on fire.
Yeah.
Is that you have a very masculine and very feminine presence. They could be across genders, doesn't matter which is which.
Yeah.
There are, you know, very masculine men who can be submissive or feminine in the bedroom and vice versa. But that polarity is important, because I think in a lot of the books I've read talk about how men today have been told they need to be equivalent in a marriage or in a partnership. Same with a woman. Mm. They need to be equivalent. I wash, you dry. I take care of the kids. You do this. And we share the time 50-50. And the consensus of these books is that basically kills the sexual spark in the relationship.
Mm.
That you have to have someone who is the masculine energy that is counterplaced with the feminine energy. And again, not gender specific, more about the energy that you have.
Yeah, it could be anybody.
Yeah, it could be a woman who is the power broker at work, and she's given orders all day, and she runs a business or she runs a department. And she comes home and she might just want to be taken. She might just want to be submissive. She gets back because she's tired of getting orders. Same for a man. The cliche of the CEO on Wall Street who is this power broker.
Who likes to wear diapers.
Home. Yeah, loves to come home and have a dominatrix working him over. That's that energy. And that's the switch of energy.
It's like a power exchange kind of a thing.
Yeah. And the power broker who is very masculine in the business world or what might not be that in the bedroom. Because it's just it's a shift.
Yeah.
So if you have this masculine and feminine polarity, it's likely to drive the sexual tension higher, to lead to more fire in your relationship, sometimes to a fault. Sometimes you have too much of either or both.
Yeah.
And it leads to drama, right?
Yeah.
But if you don't have either and you're equivalent, I am the same as you and we are going to be this masculine feminine couple and we're going to do everything the same. That gets boring and can take the spark out of the partnership and or the sexual part of the relationship. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe that, because I think in my marriage, that was the expectation. I was the dad and she was the mom, and I was expected to do these certain things around the house. And that can kill a lot of relationships. We know a lot of people who are in relationships who have that problem.
Yeah.
And they're uninterested in each other. They start to build resentments in each other because they haven't discovered this polarity that really keeps things alive.
I've always been comfortable in my femininity, but I've never felt as appreciated for it as...
Oh, I love your femininity.
When I'm with you. And I love your masculinity.
But on the other hand, you have a lot of masculinity when it comes to work. Masculine energy, I should say, when it comes to your work.
Definitely.
You're very driven. You're very passionate. You're very productive. Those are masculine qualities in the traditional sense of the word masculine.
And you have many quote-unquote feminine qualities that I could not do without. The fact that you're introspective, you've done work on yourself... You are very emotionally intelligent. I will never, ever be in a relationship ever with someone without those qualities. Mm-hmm. It's boring.
Well, I'm in touch with my feminine side.
You are, exactly. And your masculine side. All the things.
One thing I read in one of these books was, if you want to know what those energies are, if you think about New York, New York's fast, it's bustling, it's moving quickly, there's business deals being made, it's a lot of masculine energy in New York. So if you think of it as a place... New York is a very masculine place. It's very productive and no holds barred kind of place. If you think about Hawaii, what do you think of? Beauty, flowers, fragrance. It's a very feminine energy there. And that's a good way to figure out what those polarities are and understand what those attributes are of those energies. And I think in any relationship, you want to have a dose of each, especially in the bedroom.
And appreciate each other for what you bring to the table, because we don't need to be the exact same. And that's okay.
I think that's where my ex had a lot of thoughts, is she thought we needed to be the same. I give this, you give that, tit for tat. Yeah. We're equal in this. I did these things yesterday, but you didn't do these things today. It's very discouraging. And to have that kind of relationship where you're just like, it's just nothing exciting about that. It's just like duty and expectation and all that.
I just don't feel appreciated for who you are. Like, yeah. I didn't feel appreciated in my marriage either. And I brought a lot of really great parenting and fun and not a lot of perfect housework or perfect cooking. And I devalue different things, and I've missed being valued for who I am and just trying to fit myself into square peg in a round hole.
Mm-hmm. You're very valued for who you are now, and I feel very valued too.
And we fit your wonderful peg in my round hole.
Speaking of pegs and holes, you might get that again tonight.
Oh my God. You're like, you wanted training. You're getting training. We're going to have to go back to the butt plug.
Okay.
I can't believe.
You got to train it.
I know. I can't believe. I just cannot believe how much longer that took. And that I was literally, I've never tapped out with you on that ever. I was tapping out.
Yeah, I didn't let you though.
I know. Oh, it's hot.
So we're talking about anal sex again, apparently.
Oh.
Why is that? Why does it always come back to the butt?
I don't know. Yeah, what else? So we're going to see our friends this weekend. We don't have any plans with anybody in the lifestyle right now, do we?
We have a big festival concert thing we're going to tomorrow, which would be great.
Yeah.
See our raver friends. What do you think about telling, on the last podcast we talked about our goofy friend who is getting weird around you because now he knows we're open and he's getting, he's getting creepy or weird. In a fun, cute way, I guess. But it's annoying me. And what do you think about just telling them we're not open anymore and just shutting that down? Just going back in the closet with them? Or do you think it doesn't matter?
Oh, we could, but I don't think they would believe it.
They might now that we're engaged. Oh, yeah, we tried. It's not the big deal. I mean, I want to be honest, but I don't want it clouding things.
That's a good point. I don't know.
Or I just tell him, shut the fuck up. Quit doing what you're doing. That's probably what I'll do.
Let's just not talk about it, first of all.
He's gonna be weird.
We'll not talk about any of the open stuff. And if he's...
We don't anyway.
We don't. Yeah, we'll just not talk about it. And if he's weird, I don't know.
No. It's inauthentic to say that we're going back in. But it is authentic to say, dude, you need to pipe down.
Yeah.
What you're saying is annoying.
Maybe I'll just say, hey. I'll just tell him, just because we're open doesn't mean we're open to everybody.
I don't think it'll stop him. He's doing it almost as a joke, but it's not a joke. And again, we talked about last night, and it was more about respecting us and our choice and not letting it change our relationship.
Realizing it's not some shallow thing. It's really integral to our relationship. And
it's part of our identity now.
Respect our choices.
Like you said yesterday, if I were gay coming out of the closet,
right,
you're not going to start acting like, oh, he's gay, and making all these gay jokes.
Exactly.
And that's what he's doing.
I know. It's the sort of the last bastion. You know, I think we've talked about wanting single, open, poly, or SOP. Would be so great if we could band together with Plus and all work together in a umbrella.
Sexual freedom movement.
Umbrella sexual freedom movement.
That would be nice.
Where who you love and how many people you love and what your gender identity is and all of that does not matter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just love is love.
Love is love.
Yes.
All right, that's a good thing to end on.
Yes, yeah. Probably so.
Love is love, folks.
I know. Send us your questions, and what should we talk about next time? What's a good topic?
We'd love to get some suggestions of topics.
We would.
I don't think we're tapping out of them. I think we've got plenty on your list.
We do.
But I would love to hear from people what they're thinking, what they want to hear about. If you've heard our podcast to this point, there's some of you who are listening to all of them, we know.
I know, thank you.
We see the numbers. Thank you for that. And maybe it's time to just ask us. Or if you have a question about something we've talked about or anything about us personally, love to answer them.
I know. Obviously, we talk about anything.
Yeah.
So
we don't care.
I'm like, I go from talking, oh, I'm working really hard on not talking too much, not having diarrhea of the mouth. And then I go straight into a diatribe about anal sex.
Yeah, but that's a welcome conversation. That's something people want to hear about, babe.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I don't overshare anymore. I've really grown.
You just share. We want you to share because you're interesting and fascinating and all those things.
Oh, my God.
All right. Till next time, guys.
All right.
Thank you.